You are listening to a podcast of the epic fantasy novel Lion's Last Kill, and this is Chapter 13. I want to thank you for listening to this, and if you like epic fantasy and that kind of thing, then you can check out more stuff at one of my websites, www.stormthecastle.com, www.castlefiction.com, or www.epicfantasy.com, and the epic fantasy has a slash in it, a dash in it, so that would be epic-fantasy.com. I've got a blog, I've got free books, I got a lot of great stuff there, so you get a chance to check it out. Thanks, and once again, this is Chapter 13. The path going up the mountain that Maisav had chosen for them was on the southwest side, and not too far from the base camp. It would take them about half the day to navigate their way around the base of Hawk to that point, so they wouldn't be actually climbing until sometime after lunch. This made for a perfect beginning. The climb would be arduous, especially toward the end and the top, when fatigue and the weather were both factors. Bosch enjoyed these first few hours. It gave him time to look around, see the scenery of the mountain and the surrounding terrain. It also gave his legs and back time to adjust to this new routine. It didn't take him time to get back into riding shape, so he figured it wouldn't take him long to get back into climbing shape. Having this time to think and observe, Bosch had been seeing things around the mountain that he hadn't seen before. All he had to do for now was walk. This was a kind of therapy for him. The simple motion was ingrained in the spines of humans since the beginning of time. He let all of his worries go for the morning, and he didn't think about his goal or about the problems back home. He just enjoyed the walk. This freedom allowed him to slip back into his old self. He had spotted a dozen different types of plants and noticed several geological formations that had piqued his interest. With this going into long and interesting conversations with Babbage, he didn't even notice that their walk had taken a turn to the left, and they had been making their first ascent up the mountain for a few hours before he even realized it. This was a good sign for the first day. It was going quickly and pleasantly. At one point, when he came out of his personal reverie, he looked over his climbing companions. They too seemed to be walking lightly, and their spirits seemed to be high. This would be one day behind them, and that meant one day less in the journey, one day closer to the goal. He knew that was a bit of optimism, because he had made this climb once before, and this is exactly how that last climb had started. It went in almost perfect stages. Each day they would cover about half the terrain that they had covered the previous day. So in this first day, they would cover almost half the altitude of the mountain. It would take them 3 more days to cover the remaining half. This was because of the shape of the mountain. It was almost some sort of strange geometric formula. As you got closer to the top, the angle of descent got steeper. So the first day was a slow and leisurely incline, and the last day was a treacherous near-vertical climb. They didn't break at all on that first day until near nightfall. They all knew that the more progress they made would pay off in dividends on the remaining days. They would have more strength and would need less time. So Major pushed them forward all the way to the southern gate, where they had made their first camp. But they didn't cross through the gate. They camped just outside of it. The legends maintained that the Oracle had erected this mountain for her own purposes, and there was some validity to this claim. The strange shape of it was one clue. It was curved in its geometrical pattern. Bosch thought that there was a message in this, but he thought that there were messages in everything. He had once spent an entire week working over the geometrical growth pattern of the shell of a nautilus. He was convinced there was a message in that. He never discovered the message, and he was still convinced that a message was there. He just couldn't find it. The other clue that the mountain was constructed by the Oracle was the four gates around the midway point. At each of the compass points north, south, east, and west, there was a large rock gateway, each about 10 meters across and standing about 3 meters high. They were made out of the rock very similar to the rest of the mountain, but not quite exactly the same. It was slightly warm to the touch and seemed to maintain a constant temperature. The last time Bosch had climbed Hawk, he had passed through the east gate, and now, looking at the south gate, he could tell that they were exactly the same. He pictured the four gates as being connected to each other deep underground, almost as if they were lights on some enormous candelabra, the stems reaching down into the mountain. He pictured the oracle placing a giant candelabra of four gates onto the ground, then covering it up with a big pile of rocks and soil, just to the point where the tips of the gates stuck out the sides. Then she perched herself on the very top. After about 10 minutes at the camp, cold set in. They'd made good progress that first day, and it was considered an excellent climb if you could make it to one of the gates by nightfall. They had done considerable climbing, and although it wasn't dangerous and the slope was just starting to get steep, they had made almost a direct line for the gate. Now that they had stopped and their muscles were cooling down, they noticed the cold. The air temperature dropped a good 20 degrees while they were moving, and they didn't notice it. They all took their jackets out of their packs, and some of them even used their screen heaters. Varga took the speakstone out of his pack and made contact with the base camp. The lieutenant scout that he had left in charge down there reported some troubling events. They had spotted several groups of Brek coming through the swamplands to the west. They were ranging in wide paths, but there was no mistaking that they were heading towards Mount Hoch. He reported that they were organized doing a very thorough search. This was a bad sign. It meant that there were probably a lot of them, and if there were several scouting parties out, it could mean that there was a larger force of them not far behind. The Brek had gotten wind that the humans were up to something, and they aimed to find out what it was. The news from the lieutenant wasn't all bad, though. He told Varga about their situation with water, and he reported that they had found a water source in the fields to the north, just as he thought they would. This would make the trip much easier for all of them. They wouldn't have to worry about their water situation. If the going got too arduous, they could drink the water to alleviate the weight and replenish what they had once they descended back down. After the report was done, Varga put away the speak stone, and they all broke and open their meal packs and finished off one of their canteens. They assembled their tents, and without any words to each other, they retired for the night of sleepless tossing. Bosch fell asleep talking to Babbage. He had spent a good many hours thinking about the mountain and about the oracle, when the thought occurred to him that maybe this mountain was one big scrim sculpt, or hiding one big scrim sculpt. The metaphor that he had imagined of the mountain just being a lot of rubble that covered the actual function of the mountain made sense. The sculpture was underneath it, and only the very tips, which they thought of as gates, were sticking out. This got him to thinking about how powerful it would be. He rummaged through his pack and took out a speak stone, and he held it in his hand. This speak stone covered a distance of about 100 meters. The speak stone in back in the war room could cover several days' travel, which was about 25 miles. Keeping that scale in mind, how far of a reach could a stone the size of a mountain have? Just the visible part of the mountain could easily exceed 3 or 4 trillion tons of rock. That made for a very large skrin and a very long reach. And if mountains were anything like icebergs, the real mass of the mountain could be under the surface. For all he knew, the part that was showing was only 10% of the whole. It could penetrate deep into the globe. He puzzled over the reach of a skrin stone that was so large, and he wondered about the geometric progression of the stones. He made a note with Babbage that he would have to do some exacting experiments with the mass of stones and the distance they could cover. They had always assumed that skrin held a rigid exponential quantity. To double the distance it covered, you needed to quadruple the mass. This seemed to be the case, but they only had skrin stones of a very limited size that ranged from ones as small as a pea to ones the size of an automobile. Thinking about it, this shape, the shape of this mountain, gave him a possible answer. With such small masses that he worked with, you had to quadruple to get double. But maybe you were still on the lower slope of the scale. Picturing the scale like this mountain, you were still at the foothills. But as you added more mass, climbing up the side of the mountain, you'd get to a point where you would need to add less mass. Then less and less mass, because the curve climbed sharper and sharper. Eventually, you would get to the point where you had enough mass to cover the whole of reality, every universe. And this would be at the very summit of the mountain, exactly where the oracle stood. This was a beautiful train of thought, and Bosch kept himself awake long enough to make sure Babbage had it all locked in with a dozen cross-references. But he fell asleep thinking that. In a sense, it was useless information. How could a Scrim Master build a mountain? This is the end of chapter 13. Stay tuned for chapter 14, Second Day's Climb.